Okay, one more time. We're up to Perek Mem Pasik Tes V'im Zeroya Koel Loch. Hashem says to Eov, do you have the power of God? Is the power of God to you? Uvikol Kamohu Sareim, like the voice. Kamohu, Kamo means like him, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sareim, to thunder, to roar. What Hashem is doing here in the next few psukim is Hashem is inviting Eov, why don't you come and play God? You know what? Sit down in my chair, get dressed in my robes, and you be God. You be God, and let's see if you can do better. Eov, you're bitter, you complain that it's not fair. Tzadik v'raloi, rosha v'toivloi. And it's not fair. You think you know better. Really, you know better? Okay. Hashem is teasing Eov. Let me hear from you how you would do things different. That's pretty much what he says. Let's go to the next few psukim. So here again with the pasuk number one. I mean, this pasuk test really goes together with pasuk ches. Pasuk ches was ha'af tofer mishpati tarshieni leman titzdak. We did this yesterday. Hashem says to you, do you want to annul my mishpat? Do you want to declare me guilty so that you will come out looking good? It's very easy. The way you declare yourself to be very great is to a dirty campaign, is to just make the other side look bad. To run politics, we all know that some candidates, they run dirty campaigns where they don't focus on all the things that they can accomplish for the country, for the community. Instead, their attack is that the person, the incumbent, he is just good for nothing. And anyone can do better than him. So basically, Hashem is saying over here, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to declare me tar she'eni. You're declaring me guilty. You're declaring me as wicked. And by declaring me wicked, automatically you will be vindicated. Leman titzak, so you shall be righteous. Is this what you're trying to accomplish, Eov? I mean, we did this pasuk yesterday. And Hashem says, you know what? You know what? Let's see how you would do things different. Let's make believe that you would dress in the robes of God. And here in these two psukim, I'll read them together. What would happen if you were given the might, the power, the authority, the might, the arm, the power of God would be to you? And what would be if I would give you the voice? I would let your voice thunder and roar like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, Pasuk Yud. Adeno, you know what? Adorn yourself. Get dressed up in Gaon V'Gova. Okay, those are two different expressions of majesty, in exaltedness and grandeur. V'Hoid V'Hodor Tilbash. And get dressed in splendor and beauty. In other words, Hashem is telling Eov, put on my clothing. Put on these are my garments. Hashem wears four garments. It's very interesting what the deeper meaning of this is. These four different types of garments. Gaon, Vagova, Hod, Vahadar. Eov, get dressed in these four garments. And now, do what you want. Are we the few singing together? Hafetz Evro Sapecha. Hafetz means to disperse, to express, to bring forth your fury. The fury of your anger. And look at every wicked person, look upon every arrogant person, and you'll have the power to humble him, to destroy him. And Hashem repeats himself, Pasuk Gibbeis, Rei Kol Geya, look at every arrogant person, Hachni Ehu, and lower him down to nothingness, Vahadoch Rishoyim Tachtam, and step upon. Tachtam hadoch means to step. Tachtam means upon them in their place. Risham the evil. Step on the evil people. Do this. I'll let you be God. Get dressed in my clothing. And every time you look at the world and you see a wicked person, obliterate him. Just give one good look, and he'll turn into nothing. He'll be obliterated. He'll be humbled. And pasuk, I'll show you the few seconds together, and we'll go back and do all the mefarshim. Tomnim be'ofar yochad, and bury them in the earth. Take these wicked people and push them into the ground and bury them. Peneim chavosh batamun, and take their faces and hide them in batamun, means underground in the earth. And if you'll do this, you'll accomplish this. You know what? I will retire. I will. I will retire from my job and I'll let you take over the world. And not only that, I'll give you a yashar koyach. V'gam ani oideka, I also will thank you, ki sashir l'cha yiminecha, because your right hand has accomplished great things. Now, obviously there's a lot more going on in these few psukim, but these few psukim, basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Eve, Eve, you think you can do a better job? You think you can run the world? You think, because what's your complaint? Your complaint is, how do you allow wicked people to prosper? How do you allow the Satan and Rishayim, it's a world of make-believe. We all know that. We read the newspaper, the whole world is just a world of make-believe. Everything is Olam Hafuch Re'isa. Eve, you want to solve the world's problems? Okay, try. And if you'll be able to solve the world's problems, I'll give you a yashar koyach. I'll tell you, Oidchai, thank you very much. You've done very great things. Obviously, you can't solve the world's problems because the world is a lot more complicated than you think. And if you were to just obliterate the evil people in the moment, now this is going to be the thing that we're going to come to in the next series of Sukkim, next two Prakim, about the Behemoth and the Leviathan. If you're going to obliterate all the Rishon in a moment's notice, in one moment, then the world would instantly come to an end, and there would be no purpose anymore for the Tzaddikim either. In other words, Hashem is saying is everything in this world is interlinked. And the purpose of the world, the purpose of the world is really primarily for the tzaddikim, for the people that do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. They do his work, they do his ratzon. Hashem will reward them. But the tzaddikim, their lives and their tafkid is interlinked and interconnected with the wicked, and you can't have one without the other. If you're going to destroy the forces of evil, automatically the tzaddikim have no purpose in this world anymore, and the world will cease to exist. So it's not so simple just to destroy wicked evil and remove from the world this concept of rasha v'toiv loy. And then Hashem is going to illustrate this with two different creatures, the Behemos and the Leviathan. Now, I don't have clarity at all what the Behemos and the Leviathan is about, but let me just run through some ideas that some of the commentators explain to connect the Behemos and the Leviathan, which is the next series, next two prakim into this theme. Rabbi Eisenman, in his parish on Eov, it's the art scroll Eov, he explains that the behemos represent a creature, a monstrous creature that is at peace with the world. The behemos is a mighty animal. Some say it's a mythical animal. It's not a real animal, whatever it is. But it's massive. Its power is greater than all of mankind put together, and yet it's peaceful. It doesn't cause any harm to this world. It doesn't bother anyone. It doesn't hurt anyone. It does its thing. It has enormous energy, enormous potential, enormous power, yet it's tranquil. On the other hand, the counterpart to the behemos is the creature called the Leviathan. The Leviathan is the sea serpent. It's some type of massive creature in the sea, which is violent, which would easily destroy the entire world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both of these creatures in this world, and the world cannot exist without them. One is related to the other. And this serves as a mashal for the force of the tzaddik and the rasha. Just like, I guess what Rav Eisenman is trying to say is that the behemoth represents the tzaddik, and the leviathan represents the rasha. And these two creatures need one another. One cannot exist without the other. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are in mashal for the history of the world, where there are tzaddikim and there are rishayim, and tzaddikim need rishayim, and rishayim need tzaddikim. One cannot exist without the other, and if you take away one, the world would instantly come to an end.
Why do tzaddikim need rishayim?
What?
Why do the tzaddikim need rishayim? Because if you only had tzaddikim, you would have to split the tzaddikim into less tzaddikim and more tzaddikim.
I didn't say.
Right.
I don't know.
It's
okay.
Be one against the other.
The tzaddikim.
So it's easier to balance that we have the rishayim than if you would have chas v'chalil, there would be tzaddikim. You would never survive.
The simple idea of why there are Rishonim is they represent Hester Panim. Hashem put a person in this world to allow him to choose. Bechira Chofshes. If Hashem Hashem wants to, this is the very basic yisoidus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do good, to create neshamos and give them pleasure. Ideally, Hashem would create a neshama and bring the neshama directly into Gan Eden. The problem is, the neshama in Gan Eden would not have any benefit because it's called the mechla dikisufa, bread of shame. When a person doesn't have an opportunity to earn his keep, he does not derive benefit, does not derive pleasure. It's no fun to take. Okay, it may be fun in the beginning, but after you take a little bit, it's no fun. A person has a need. It's natural for a person to want to earn his keep. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu then give a neshama an opportunity to earn the pleasure that he would receive in Gan Eden? Is by putting him into a physical world. And the physical world, Hashem's presence is hidden, and man would have to search to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The forces of evil and the forces of good will be evenly balanced, and a person would have to choose ubacharta b'chayim. And through his choosing to do mitzvahs and to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu, he would then, his neshama would earn his keep in the next world, and then when he'll come into Gan Eden, he will not feel ashamed. Now, so wicked people are those who have chosen to choose not good, who have chosen to choose death, to choose ra. The fact that evil, wicked people exist and survive and flourish is a part of the test, the challenge to the tzaddik. Why should I work hard and suffer and deny myself of pleasures in this world when there? Look at this group of people in this world. Most of the world are wicked people. A good part of the world are wicked people. I don't know most, but a good part of the world are not following Hashem's ratzon, and they have very good lives. They survive. They have pleasure. They enjoy themselves. So they are the nisayon. They represent the hester panim for tzaddikim in this world. So the tzaddikim would never accomplish their purpose in this world if not for the fact that there exists such a thing in this world called Rishab. Now obviously this is just, you know, this is like the bare bones of very deep concepts which are way, way beyond me. Therefore, the idea is tzaddikim need rishahim in order to show that there is hester panim, so that they can choose ubacharta b'chayim and earn their keep in the next world. Rishahim have no place in this world. The only reason why they exist is because there are righteous people that are doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, and in that schus they continue to survive. So there is an interrelationship between this always has to be bechir. There always has to be a balance between the forces of good and the forces of bad. There has to be this balance. This balance, to some degree, is related. It's hard to understand it spiritually. I don't understand why this is so. But it's easier to relate to this concept when you study the Leviathan and the Behemos. The Leviathan and the Behemos represent two completely different worlds. The Behemos is the land, the Leviathan represents the sea. Each one has different powers, different midos, and all the mefarshim, they look at them on a different, they look at them differently. They have they try to extract different characteristics and use them as a metaphor to bring out different ideas. But what most of the commentators do find and have in common is they explain that these two creatures are interrelated. One cannot exist without the other. They serve one another. On one level, Rav Eisenman says the behemos represents tzaddikim, peaceful animals that live with tranquility and harmony. They have enormous power, and they don't abuse the power Hashem has given them. The Leviathan, on the other hand, is the antagonist. They are the force of evil. They are the terrorists, and they are trying to destroy the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to prevent them from destroying the world by putting them in the sea. And the sea is a place which is not inhabited by man. It's distant from man. Man lives on dry land. And the ocean and the seas are not man's domain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put them away, jail them in a location where the damage they can do is limited. But they're still there. And they're still there. And they're lurking and they're waiting to attack. And there has to be this balance. Just like we can, on some level, which I do not know, we can understand that each one needs the other, each one serves the other. We'll maybe come across some of these ideas. So Hashem is saying to Eve, the world is not so simple. Don't think you can sit in my chair and you can wave your magic wand and obliterate all the wicked people and there'll be peace to this world, the world will be a beautiful place and everyone will be happy. That's not the way the world works. It's a complicated world. The wicked, the tzaddikim need the rishon, the rishon need the tzaddikim, and things have to happen over over long periods of time, which is greater than the lifetime, the lifespan of one human being. So it's not possible for one human being to understand the way the world works. Yeah.
If you say that the Gelson represents not the negative,
yeah,
side, why do we say the Sadiqim are waiting to eat?
Begin to eat from the Leviathan Lost Lava. Okay, I told you, I just told you one of many ideas, and there are many other ideas.
At that time, there will not be any more bad.
So then the bad will be transformed into good at the end of days. Okay, that's this your first. They're both related. The fins of the Leviathan are going to be used as the knife to cut, to kill, to slaughter the behemoths. But the Leviathan is the ultimate suit, the Shor HaBor. The Shor HaBor is the behemoths. Okay, behemoths represents like a behemoth to its exponential power. Plural, behemos, lashon rabin. Okay, we'll touch upon some of these midrashim as we go through the psukim. Another idea that the commentators explain is that behemos represent the concept of matter, and Leviathan represents energy. This is Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab focuses. In this world, you could have a lot of choymer, but you need matter. The two work together. Choymer, energy has to be released against some matter. Right? You have energy, you have electricity. So, very good, but what's the use of electricity if you don't have a machine to which you can plug in to that electricity and make use of? A machine is the choymer. The motor is just a slab of metal, okay, arranged in a very sophisticated way. What's it worth? What is the choymer? What is the matter worth? When you have energy, you take oil, you take electricity, you take whatever type of energy, and you direct that energy into chomer, into matter, into, then you can accomplish, you can create, you can accomplish great things. They're very different. Chomer and energy are very different, but the two are interrelated. One cannot exist without the other. The behemos is lashon of gashmi. Behemos is the davar gashmi, is the greatest form of gashmius that exists in this world is the, because it's sophisticated, it's a life form, but it still needs energy. The Leviathan represents the concept of energy. The two come together and you can accomplish great things, but one without the other is destructive or doesn't have any function. And that's what the Mashal HaKadosh Baruch is giving Eve. Eve, you think the world is so simple, you think you can just isolate the Rishayim and obliterate them, then you know what, the whole world will come to an end. No different than the need for there to be the Leviathan and the Behemos. That's the basic gist of what we're going to come across in the couple of psukim. We'll go over psukim, the very very hard psukim, and the way they're described. But let's first take a look at the Mitzudos and the Rashi when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Eve, you know what, let's see if you can do it better. Let's see if you can sit in my chair and play God. So let's go back to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudos David. Hashem says to Eve, what would happen if I would give you the power of God? And you would have the voice, you can roar like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tes. V'chi hine ha'adam asui hu b'tzelem Elokim. A person is made of the tradition. I told you was really more from Rabbi Eisenman, but there is some overlap in the Mitzudos as well. It's a little bit different. Let's take a look. A person is made in the image of God. And when a person And a person is complete. He's a shalem. He is a tzaddik and does not turn away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. He has enormous power. The yimshal b'chol davar, the avetz ha'shamayim, and he's also able to rule over the heavens. Ulchinyin shnemar shemesh begivayin doim Yehoshua. Yehoshua, when he was fighting the Polishtim, the Givonim, was able to tell them, when the time was running out, he needed more time until the ceasefire, right? He needed some more time to accomplish his goal, so he told the sun, Shemesh begivon doim, I want the sun to stop. What gives a human being the power? What gives a human being the power to tell the Bria, Teva, to stop? The answer is, so according to the Mitzudos, okay, this is a different interpretation that I've told you from Rabbi Eisenman, but according to him, he's telling us the general idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he gave a human being the power over the Bria. Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed man to control the world, provide, there's one condition. The condition is you have to be behaving in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be a true Tzelem Elokim, be in the image of God. To be in the image of God, you must be 100% righteous. And that is something which almost no man has accomplished. But Yechidim like Yehoshua, who was able to accomplish this, V'yidom HaShemesh, V'lohoy Yekiyoyim, and it says there, it wasn't like that day, L'shmoya HaShem B'kolish, it says in the past, there wasn't such a day in the history of the world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a man said, the sun should stop, the sun stopped. So here HaShem, according to the Mitzudos, is telling Eiv, Eiv, do you think you are on the level of Yehoshua, that you can control nature? Well, it's a whole different interpretation. I told you from Rabbi Eisenman, Hashem is inviting Eiv to sit in his chair. Mitzudas over here is telling us that they have a very different interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Eiv, who do you think you are? You think you're a tzaddik? This goes back to the previous pasuk, you're a tzaddik and you don't deserve to suffer. You know, tzaddik. If you really were a tzaddik, you would be able to give a command and tell the sun to stop. And the fact that you don't have that power shows that you're not a tzaddik. Just like you're not a tzaddik to control the Bria, you deserve punishment, and the suffering that has come upon you is just.
Didn't we say in the beginning somehow that a wind came and destroyed his property?
Yeah. In the beginning, that was the very beginning. Right. First, his property and his children. His children were sitting in his home.
So if you were a tzaddik, you could have controlled the wind.
Maybe that's what it means. All right, interesting. All right. But he's just saying general. What?
Tzaddikim.
That's what it says. That's what this pasuk is telling us. That a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives a human being the power to control nature. And one example, there are other many examples in Tanakh, but one example is Yehoshua. Shemesh begivoin doim. Yehoshua said to the sun, stop. Stop in your tracks. We are Yeshaya also. Yeshaya also, he asked for a simin. Chizkiyahu, what was the simon you want? Kadosh Baruch has forgiven you. He wanted the sun to stop. There are different examples in Tanakh. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe told the hail to stop, to be suspended in midair. So this is something which we have in Tanakh, where Hashem does give a tzaddik the power to control the Bria. Do you really think you're a tzaddik? Do you really have power like God to control nature? The chitarim kamo b'kol, do you have the power to roar, to issue a command, which we're using here, we're using the metaphor of roaring with a voice to refer to issuing a command, ligzor ma al tzva hashamayim, upon the host of heaven, kasher yo'os latzadik, kasher, like it is fitting latzadik, Shalom v'amiti. Here's a shalom means a tzaddik that is complete and true, just like a tzaddik that, I think it means shalom and amiti, emes, has power of the Bria. Do you also have power of the Bria? The answer is obviously not. Therefore, you must have some defect. And that defect is what is why you are suffering these yisurim. Okay, then pasuk. Let's see, Rashi says there is no pasuk, no test pasuk has. Then a pasuk to Yud Hashem says to Eof, Adena. Adena means to beautify yourself. V'loi, they did not remove the Jewish people. They did not remove their ornaments by Matan Torah. V'loi, what do you remember the pasuk? Did not Ed Yoimei Olaf, that the Jewish people did not remove the ornaments, the crowns from upon them in the aftermath. Ed Yoimei Olaf, and remove your crowns. At Matan Torah, they were given two crowns, Nasa and Nishma, and after the Chet Egel, Moshe told them, take off your crowns. So the word for crown was Ed Yoimei, an ornament, a beautification. So here Hashem says to you, beautify yourself, Mitzudos. Adei nok oimer niseat olivchoin hadavar. Test yourself. Ukeshot atzmecha. Beautify yourself. Bigoinu uvo goiva. Vahalbeish atzmecha. Dress yourself. Behoid vahadar. Lasos masim niflam. Try to do it. Try to issue commands. Dress yourself in majesty and try to control the bria. And you will see you're helpless. So that means you're not a tzaddik. Not a tzaddik. How dare you challenge me as to why you're suffering. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Chofetz Evros. Chofetz means to disperse. Pazer, the Mitzudos of Tzion says. Chofetz Pazer Evros Apecha, disperse the fury of your anger, the Chaska, Al Rishay Am, upon the wicked people, La Ansham Beruch Sifosecha. Curse people. Go around and try. You see, you walk in the street and say, oh, this one did this Avla, and this one did this to me, and curse them. And let's see if your curses come true. They don't come true. You can sit and curse from today until tomorrow, and it doesn't make one bit of a difference. You know why? Because you're not a tzaddik. If you were a tzaddik, tzaddik goes there via Kadosh Baruch Hu Mikayim. But if you're not a tzaddik, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention to you.
Well,
so the
not God.
What?
Not God. I think not.
Well, he's saying you don't even have to be God. You don't even have to be Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You all you have to be. That's what the Mitzudas is telling us in these psukim. He's explaining to us in these psukim. His interpretation is that you don't have to be God to have power in this world. All you have to be is a tzaddik. If you're a tzaddik, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu automatically grants you power. We find by Shlomo HaMelech. It says there that he actually sat. Melech Shahashalom Shalom.
He spoke to that.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, it says in the Chazal, if not for this Chazal, you couldn't say such a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to sit in his throne. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him complete shlit. Hashem says, I'm going on vacation, and you take over. It's after Tisha B'Av, somewhere else, to another world. What? What?
Not the
Shlomo HaMelech. HaMelech Shahashalom Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu briefly gave Shah Melech Shlita over the world, whatever that means. And these are things which are way above our pay grade. But whatever these things mean, and that's what the Mitzvah is saying. They're different. Eev, do you have such power? When you walk in the street and you see a Russia, a person that you hate, you detest, and you curse him, does he turn into dust? No. Why not? According to the rules of creation, built into the DNA of this world, if you're a tzaddik, you should have power to destroy Russia. The fact that it's not working shows that you're not a tzaddik. Oh, you're not a tzaddik? Why not? You must have something wrong. There must be some minor imperfection in your character or in your deeds. Oh, there's a defect. There's an imperfection that deserves punishment. So you deserve to suffer. So don't second doubt me. Why I'm bringing upon you this punishment? That's how the Mitzvah learns. How okay? Look at every geya, every arrogant person. And lower him. Tain einechabo, give a look at a dirty look, to hashbilehu and lower him kasher roi v'yos the tzaddik shom, just like it's fit for a tzaddik who's a shalem to obliterate the wicked people. Kipasik, let's see Rashi. Rashi is pasik chesah. Pasik yud adei lashon adi v'tachshit. It means beautification. Kipasik yud beis. Okay, Hafetz Evros Apecha Rei Kol Geya V'Hashpilo Rei Kol Geya Geya Hach Niyus repetition. Look upon every arrogant person and Hachniehu. Hachniehu is a parallel to the word in the previous pasuk for Hashpilehu. Fahadoich means to step, to trample Rishoim Tachtam, to trample upon the wicked people. Tachtam means in their place. Put your foot upon their Mokoim and press down, put them into the ground. Mitzudos pasuk yedeis reehu kafalinim b'milam shonos v'hadoich b'mamar picha. Okay, it doesn't mean physically to step with your foot, but it means with the word your command. Hadoich es harishon b'mukayim, press upon the wicked people in their place. Rashi says v'hadoich lashon tichu b'meducha means to crush. Okay, to crush with a mortar. A mortar, take a pestle and bang upon stone to crush grain. Hadech dechud is to crush. Pasik yud gimel, tomneim be'efar yachad, bury them. Hatman on Shabbos, where you cover something in multiple layers, completely submerged. Be'afar yachat, all of them together. Pineim, their face, chavosh batamun, bury in something that is concealed. Pasuk Yud Gimel Mesudas, Tomneim es kulam yachat, Tomneim be'afar, take all them together and bury them in earth. V'chavosh pineim b'mokim tamun, v'nisar atzolemar, gzar leim shiflus sachna, be goes upon them lowliness and nothingness, chesish and crushing, the sira and sea im tiskaim gizei raskas. This is the Mesudas interpretation. Eof, do a test. Let's try your luck. See how much power you have in this world. The litmus test. The litmus test of how much power, and then we'll see. Then we'll see where you're holding. You know the Chassidish Maisa. There is a famous Maisa about a person who decided he's gonna be misaking the whole world. Everyone knows the story. You want to fix the whole world, and then he says. He saw that it's just too complicated. You know, Syria, Ukraine, Iran, Iraq, you know, Hamas, Egypt, it's just too hard for me, the little guy, to solve all the world's problems. All right, let's at least, I'll run for president of the United States. I'll at least be misaki in the United States of America, correct? Right? At least I'll be misaki in America. No, those doesn't work. So at least New York State, no, it doesn't go. At least New York City, doesn't go. At least at least Brooklyn, doesn't go. At least my home, doesn't go. At least my wife, I'll tell Michelle what to do, right? I'll tell her what to do. Doesn't go. So at least I'll be misaking myself. I realize I can't even do that. So what could I do? I'll be misaking the golf ball, like you said. Even that I can't do. So then the person realized when he'll know how to play a good golf, when you can be misaking yourself, the same way you can be misaking yourself, you'll be misaking the whole world along with you. So here, based, that's really what it says here in this pasuk. Hashem says to Eve, if you're coming to challenge me to change the world, you want to be misaking the Gantz Olam. If, does anyone have any respect for you? You're telling God to misak in the world. Anyone have respect? You go out. Try to tell people what to do. Put on a nice coat, a nice up hat, a nice black hat, and walk in the street and tell people what to do. See if anyone could care less. Pay attention to you. No one will pay any attention to you. The same way no one pays any attention to you, how dare you think that you know better than you're going to be misak in the entire world. That marriage to some degree is a little bit at least hidden here in these few psukim that we've read. Okay, so that concludes this section. Oh, but one more pasuk Yudalit. I'll give you Yashar Koyach. The Gamani also, I Oideka will thank you. Kasher Teheya Behamalah Hahi. Asher Zuchus Yimincha Toshia Lucha. Lios Lucha Koyach Azroya. I will be with you, b'malah hahi. I will be with you when you will accomplish this task of telling the world what to do. I will be with you. Kasher tia b'malah hahi. When you will be b'malah hahi. When you will be, I think what it means over here, when you will be a tzaddik yesoid olam. When you will be misakin yourself. Asher zuchus yemincha tashir lecha. when your power, the power of your right hand, will tashilcha, will be a savior to you. In other words, you'll have power. Liyostra koya hazroya hazois hine oh gam ani odeka loymar olecha shetzadi gomerata. When you reach that madriga, I also will praise you and thank you to reveal that you're a tzaddik, and then we can negotiate. We can actually figure out why you are suffering. But avalata, but now that you have not yet reached that point. At this point in time, you have no shlit in this world. Obviously, you're not a tzaddik. Avalata now choyel v'loy kainhu. Mali b'mashiata levadcha teshabich atzmo letzaddik. So why should I pay attention to this that you claim that you're a tzaddik? The proof is in the pudding. If you have no shlit in this world, the bria does not respond to your commands, that is a sign that you are not a tzaddik. So why should I take your word for it? You telling me that you're a tzaddik, and therefore you do not deserve to suffer? I don't believe you. Because if you really were a tzaddik, then the bria, my creation, will follow your commands. Because that's part of the way the world has been established, that the bria is obligated to obey the commands of a tzaddik. It's very deep ideas. Yeah.
A guy comes to Rebbe and says, I have a yichus, I have money, I'm a tzaddik, I have a big shul, how come I'm not a Rebbe?
Yeah.
The Rebbe says, it's not enough that you think you're a tzaddik, other people have to think you're a tzaddik. And you have other chassidim say you're a tzaddik, then you have a business.
Right. The trick is getting other people. I once heard someone who gave a speech. Okay, this is I'm telling you a conversation that two people had. I was listening to the conversation. So one person said that the speaker was unbelievable at this kinnus, at this gathering. He was crying. Every other word, he was crying. He was so full of so much emotion. So the other person said, "It's not a kunz. It's no big deal. The kunz is that he could get the people in the audience to cry. That's the kunz." And he said, "And did he?" He said, "I didn't see the people in the audience were crying. I saw he was crying. Very nice. That's not a kunz."
So I heard from Rav Shlomo Shvatran, he was once talking to Marshall, and a chassid came to the Rebbe. He says he didn't eat 40 days. He does Gilgul Shelag. He does Ruka Yisurim. He didn't see Eliyahu yet. So Rebbe took him to the window. You see that horse outside in the snow? He hasn't eaten 40 days.
It's also Gilgul.
As a fan, and do this stuff.
how brutal.
Hashem's thinking is more consistent with the first three guys. You think you're a tzaddik, but you're not a tzaddik.
Well, you make a very good point. But maybe Hashem can say this. Hashem can, this all depends who says it. Like people, there are people who say self-deprecating humor. They say the nastiest things about themselves. But if someone would say even a mashahu of what they say to that person, World War III. Okay, World War III. What? Right. No big deal. No big deal. But if a white would say such a thing like that, the world comes to an end.
If a guy makes a Holocaust joke, look at him.
It all depends where it comes from. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say this. But Sofar and Bildad and Eliphaz, they don't have a right to talk to. So in Echlan, making a very good point. It all depends where it comes from. Okay, let's see.
Saying that you may very well be a tzaddik, but Hashem has his ways. He punches tzaddikim also.
That's a very good point.
You're not a tzaddik.
That's a very good point. You're saying Hashem is saying in these words that you're not a tzaddik.
Right.
That you're not a tzaddik. And therefore, you deserve to be punished.
Right.
That's a very good point. This interpretation, we have to remember, is only according to the lens of the Mitzudos. Right? I mean, everything is subject to so much interpretation. When I read the Sukkot, I told you a whole different interpretation, which totally means something completely different. According to Rabbi Eisenman, he's quoting a lot from the Ramban. Or of Yosef Kara, he has different commentators. He quotes, he reads the psukim not completely different. He says that Hashem here is saying, Eve, who do you think you are? You think you can do a better job? This world is very complicated. You are a tzaddik. It's right. You're a tzaddik yisoid olam, but there's more to it. It's a complicated world. You want to sit in my chair, you want to run the world, you'll see that it's not so simple. But you are a tzaddik. So in Echnami, That's also true. I mean, everything, there are many layers of interpretation, and the different interpretations don't necessarily contradict one another. They're both Eilu v'Eilu v'Eilu
v'Eilu v'Eilu. One of the first applications, even on the mainframe, was a game called Island of Creation. You had an island, and you were able to create people who lived in a certain area, and statistically, it showed what would happen in 10, 20, 30 generations. And I think in every instance, they multiplied and they wiped themselves out. You can do different parameters, but at the end, you could never make a simulated game where you would come out with a solid generation that would survive, that would be a good civilization. You can't even do it on a game.
So certainly you can't do it in real life.
Yeah.
Okay, but real life, we all know, they can't make movies like what happens in real life. The world of reality is much more complex than any... Okay, let's go to the next case. So this concludes here this section. Now we go to the mashal. Now the mashal begins with the behemos and the leviosim. Now these are very mystical psukim. Some of the source for this, maybe hopefully we'll spend some time on more of the midrashim of the leviosim and the behemos, is in Akdamos on Shavuos. There the Paitan elaborates to some degree about the Behemos and the Leviosan and the mystical Midrashim, but here we describe, here pretty much first we're just going to describe them. Well, I think there are 10 psukim to describe the Behemos, and there are 32 psukim, which goes into the next perek, that describes the Leviosan. And the basic idea we're going to focus on is the Behemos we mentioned before, that the Behemos is a peaceful animal, doesn't cause anyone any harm, it lives in this world, it has enormous power, enormous strength, but doesn't cause anyone any harm. It's civilized. It's not a terrorist. Whereas it's not domesticated. No, it's not a domesticated animal. But it's not out to destroy the world. Whereas the Leviathan is the counterpart, and that is the antagonist, that is the one that's trying to destroy the world. So there are going to be 10 psukim describing the Behemos and 32 psukim describing the Leviathan. So here we go. So Hineina.
The Shurabar?
Yes, according to most commentators, yes. The Behemos, the Shurabar. Now, why is it called Behemos? The Behemos, Bloshon Rabim. So someone to say the Behemos Shabar represents the combined power of all animals. It's not just one animal. Behemos means the composite of every single animal on this world. If we combine their talents, their characteristics, and their potential, it's what we call Behemos. And the Leviathan represents the combination of all of the sea creatures. If we will combine the mental telepathy of the whale and of this monster creature and this creature, you would come up with a creature. Can you imagine you take the mylas of every single animal and every single fish and what you could create? So here we go. Behold now. Behemos asher asisi imach. I've made imach together with you. That's the key word. The behemos are together with man. They live with us. We share the same dry land. Whereas the Leviathan is not imach. The Leviathan is in the sea. The Leviathan is off limits. And this was a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, because if the Leviathan lived on the dry land with man, we would be gone, long gone. They would eat us up long ago. There wouldn't be anything left of us. The only reason why we survived the onslaught of the Leviathan is because they are in the sea. They are in prison, or we're in prison. So one of us is protected from the other in different domains. But the Behemos, even though it has equal power, equal strength, equal talent, equal potential, it's imach. It lives together with men on dry land because it's a peaceful animal. It's not out to destroy us. Hine no behemos asher asisi imach chotzir kabokar yochel. It eats grass like bokar. It does not eat flesh, because if it would eat flesh, man would be delicious. Man would be consumed long ago. Let's see pasuk of the mitzvos. Okay, again, I'm jumping back and forth between Rav Eisenman, which I'm very much enamored with his interpretation of these psukim, and the Mitzudos, which is continuing the theme of a tzaddik and a rasha. So we'll keep on jumping back and forth, and then maybe we'll go to Rav Schwab. He likes to quote from the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, who has a different interpretation, which really says one is matter versus energy, the interaction between the two. We mentioned that before. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. If you were tzaddik gamur, I would not deny you from reward. If you really, Hashem says, if you really a true tzaddik, then you would receive your reward just like the behemos, the shor habar, the wild ox. It receives its reward. It lives and has everything in this world at its disposal, and it does not suffer any impediments. No harm. Nothing is in its way. Why? Because the Shor Habar is the tzaddik. It fits with Rav Eisenman. What he said is that the Shor Habar represents the tzaddikim. They have nothing withheld. It's a mashal. Who can stand in my way to give reward to a creature that I want to bestow kindness upon? For example, here's an example. Achasya behema, Asher Barasi, B'shiva Simei Bereishis, V'hineata Oiden Imach V'lemeis. Look at the Shor Habar. The Shor Habar represents the tzaddikim gemurim, and the greatest reward is it never dies. It's still alive from Maisa Bereishis. The only reason why Adam HaRishon died was because of the Chet Eitz Hadas. If Adam HaRishon, that's Chet brought death. The Shor Habar is still alive. It was created at the time of Maisa Bereishis, and this mystical creature is still alive, and it's still alive. Why? Because it's a tzaddik. It represents what tzaddikim are about. Chotzer imki rabim yamav, even though it's lived many long, lo baba pe basa trefa miyolam ki yochaleisav asadik kibakar. It always has food. Okay, Social Security never ran out for the Shor Habar. It never went bankrupt. It always has its sustenance. Rashi pasuk behemos muchon losne. Rashi is going to be always focusing on the midrashim. Rashi totally, completely avoids any zecher of pshat. Everything refers to these mystical creatures. Muchon lasid, it's prepared for the future in the next world. Okay, pasik, whatever that means. Okay, pasik tezayim. Now we're going to describe in detail. Hine na, behold now. Koychay v'masnaf, its strength is in its loins. V'ono, ono is another word for koychay. Same exact thing as koyach. Bish rirei vitno. What? Gracious oini, the first of my strength. Bish rirei vitno means the muscles. It's a very nice word. That's how Rav Schwab translates. The muscles of its belly. That's where its strength is to be found. I guess it's a synonym for the loins. So, okay, maybe a little bit above the loins, but in that area, that's where its strength is to be found. Mitzudos hineinu koichai, mitzudos. Koimer, im ki lo lama litrev teref, the behemos never was taught how to attack prey. V'loi noida im ken koichai bepoel, does not know how powerful it really is. It doesn't need to be taught. It's natural. There are people that need to be trained, and there are people that have natural talent. They come out of the crib and they're ready, a world-class violinist, musician. How in the world does a child, 2 years old, know how to play a piano, know how to play a violin without anyone even saying boo? It's just some inborn talent that they have. And that's the same thing when it comes to the behemos. The behemos has this inborn koyach, the muscles. It never had to have a personal trainer. Okay, yeah, no personal trainer, but yet it has this power. Its strength lies in the middle of its beten. Okay, Rashi pasuk tes zayin. Now this is Rashi referring to its koichav reproduction. Beitzav means its testicles. Its testicles are muuchim v'nistodim. Mocha means they are, I'm not exactly sure, Mocha means crushed. Moch. Moch. It's crushed and they're hidden. They have not been completely severed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented this. This Rashi is touching upon a Medrash. And the Medrash says that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented the behemoths from reproducing. Because if the behemoths would reproduce, they would multiply to a degree where they would destroy the world. The world would not be able to accommodate them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to prevent them from reproducing. But yet, Hashem did not completely take away their ability to reproduce. They're crushed, the nistarim. They have been crushed and they've been suppressed. But they have not been completely severed. Because maybe at some point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow them to reproduce. Maybe La'asin Lava. And the end of days, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu slaughters them at the Sudas Leviathan.
As opposed to the Leviathan, for whom Hashem created a mate and then killed
the female. Okay, so it's also a question: is did HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually slaughter, or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu also temporarily prevent them from reproducing by putting a coldness into her belly? And we'll see that. We'll see when the midrashim at some point in time. Like, well, let's do only one at a time. Let's do the psukim first. For the behemoth, I don't have that addition. What does he say? Read the words. I don't have the okay, I'm not sure. I have to look at it. Maybe another time. Okay, I'm not sure what the Targum says. But it was on a very similar level. We don't come to the Leviathan until the end of this parak. Right now, we're just focusing on describing in detail what the behemoths look like. Kine Pasik Yud Zayin. A Yachbites Zinavai Kimoy Ores. Yachbites and the different children, one is it means it hardens. Yachbites Zinavai Kimoy Ores, it hardens its tail like a cedar, which basically means that it's very mighty. Gide Fachadov, the sinews of Fachadov means its testicles. Very unusual word. Fachadov not only means his pocket, his sphere, but here it means the way they all translate it. If you look at the Mesudos Sion, Pa Fachadov Beitzov Ki Meiruch Oshech. Okay, one of the simonim, one of the defects in an animal that may not be used for a carbon is Meiruch Oshech. Targum Ungulis Meiruch Oshech. Targum Ungulis Moris Pachadin. Moris means it's been crushed. It's been crushed or it's been Pachadin, its testicles. Oshech. So here it means Gidei Fachadov Yisorogu are twisted. Twisted means that the sinews, the gidim, which are part of the testicles, are very rough. They're twisted like chains. They're very mighty. I get that's the way this creature is. I guess being that these animals, they roam in the wild, and they come in contact with a very difficult environment, and this is a very sensitive part of the animal which the animal needs for its survival. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it in a way where it's bulletproof. That's really what it's saying, that it's shielded, it's protected, and the sinews of its testicles, yisorogu, are twisted like chains, meaning they're very, very strong. The animal does not need to fear that it will be damaged when it roams in the wild and eats food. By the way, some want to say that the creature, the behemoth, the closest physical animal that we have to the behemoth is the hippopotamus. Okay, that's what Rabbi Eisenman says. Water buffalo? What? Hippopotamus. Hippopotamus. Why? I don't know, because from the simon that we're going to read over here, from the Midrashim and the study of the animals, others want to say that it looks more like the crocodile. Which is not so simply because it's deserved by Deutsch. And
those look like a crocodile.
That's
why it kills more people than any other animal, because when you see it in the water,
yeah,
it looks like a crocodile because you see the eyes thinking.
Hippopotamus?
Yeah, and you think it's a
crocodile. Yeah.
Stand it, all of a sudden you get.
It comes on dry land.
Stands up and chases you.
Uh-huh. So it looks like both. Okay.
The number one killer.
What, hippopotamus?
Yes.
Hippopotamus. Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting.
When it's in the water, it looks like
a crocodile is a very scary creature.
Yeah. Ooh. You can outrun it.
No.
Right.
But a hippopotamus, you can't.
Uh-huh. Okay. Crocodiles. Now, what's difficult is
what?
Rabbi Deutsch from the Living Torah Museum in Borough Park. He claims with a great degree of certainty that the Tzvardeim. The Tzardeya is a crocodile.
Right.
They're baby crocodiles.
Right.
Not like they teach you in Cheder, the little innocent, harmless frogs. No, a little frog, okay, it's not pleasant that frogs are jumping around in your bed at night, but no one's going to want crocodiles jumping around in their bed with them at night. Yeah. Crocodiles are extremely... Have you ever seen a documentary? I once saw a documentary about crocodile. I was once in the doctor's office. I don't know why they were playing this documentary, but I was waiting there a long time. They were showing a documentary of crocodiles. Whew! I walked out of that doctor's office.
You see, there was a story recently that there were two men in a river on a boat, and all of a sudden the crocodile out of nowhere came and snatched the back rider into the water, and that was it.
Ate him up.
When they jump out of the water, they get 20 feet high. I don't know if you might remember a case at the University of Pennsylvania where there was a disturbance outside a guy's window. I think he was an Israeli student, and he yelled out "Behemoth," and he was brought in on a charge of yelling racist remarks. And they were trying to tell him, "No, it means a water buffalo." It was a celebrated case at the time.
Interesting. Okay, let's take a look at the mitzvot. Pasuk Yud Zayin Yachmots Yimaher Lehania Zinova. According to the mitzvot does not want to translate the word Yachmots to mean harden. I read in Rav Eisenman, he translated. According to Rav Eisenman, I don't know what his source is. Yachmots means to harden. It's Rashi. I really tell you, Rashi says this. Look, just jump to Rashi. Yachbots kamo, yachbois miskashe. Kayachbois means to sharpen. The way it's not, it doesn't mean over here a little sharpen. It means over here yis miskashe, to harden. V'chein b'loshen chachamim techapiza ki upse. It means to harden your neck. Like a piece of wood. Koshek eight. It's hard like a piece of wood. Okay, so it's an unusual word. It means to harden. This is Rashi's interpretation. The Mitsudos disagrees. He says Yachbots means like Lashon of Chofetz. In Chofetz Hashem Banif, Hashem wants. But it doesn't just mean want. It means to want quickly, swiftly. To swiftly desire to do something. Yemaher Lohanias Dov, it's swift to wag its tail. Ashahu kamo Elon Eres, and the tail happens to be like a Elon, like a tree of cedar, begoidel in height, uva oivian in thickness. Gide Pachadov, the sinews of its testicles, Gide Beitzav, Hema Ovim, they are thick. Ki'ilu hayu anfe ilan, as if they are the branches of a tree. So he does not really translate the word yisarogu, but look in the mitzudos seir yisarogu, he translates to mean se'if, it means a se'if, a branch. Like in Shulchan Aruch, we have the se'ifim, right? You have the simonim and the se'ifim, the branch of the simon, the se'if, k'v'anav k'mo halbinu sligo. Okay, I told you that it means it's twisted. That's another translation. I'm jumping back with different translations, but according to the mitzudos, of the mitzvahs, it means that the sinews of the behemos are massive. They are like branches of a tree. Pasuk Yud Ches Atzamav.
Assume then that the shorabor is a shor. It's a zohar. It's not a.
There's both. There's the min. There's a male and a female. According to the Medrash, there's both. There's a male and a female. Kadosh Baruch Hu prevented them from reproducing, from mating, because they would destroy. They would overtake the world. But here it's describing specifically the male. He did with the testicles. He did obviously with the male version, the male part of the shor habor. Now we describe it in another detail. More
testicles. So Rashi says, "The star of Lonik to Lagarmi means that they're only partially descended.
They have been temporarily
infertile. They're not fully descended.
Right. Medically, if they're not completely descended, then they can't have children."
Nobody. What it means is
they're not
still in the body,
but it's still there, so there's still potential. But there's still potential.
It doesn't come out.
Right. That's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and Beitz of Milchum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he crushed their Beitz of and the stone they're hidden. But Rashi points out, they've been not completely severed. They're still there. Now why are they still there then? They're still there. Now you'll tell me they need to be there because because maybe there is some hope that maybe the day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow them to multiply at a point when they can be controlled. Tzaddikim, again, there may be a point in time in the future when they will be, their koyach will be harnessed and they will be allowed to multiply. Or maybe you'll tell me that, you know, like in science, if a person doesn't have testicles, there's a hormonal problem. He has to be injected with artificial hormones in order to he should be healthy. So it could be over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented them from reproducing, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to take away the other benefit that the Beitz of provide as a health, natural health for this creature. It needs the hormones that are produced by these Beitz of, so they're v'loy nitku legamri. They're there, they're in the body, they're producing whatever it needs to be produced to keep the animal healthy and productive, but they're concealed in a way where they temporarily cannot reproduce. Okay, that's the next. And then we learn, that's when we pass about some of afikei nechusha, their bones are like copper or copper branches. In other words, don't mess with the hippopotamus. Don't mess with this creature because it will wipe you out. They are extremely powerful. Their bones are like branches of that copper. Gramov. Gramov is another word for a bone. It's exactly the same thing as a bone. They are kimetil barzel. A metil is a sledgehammer. Metil means something that you bang in a downward motion. Then you could have a wooden hammer. But barzel means iron. So an iron, a sledgehammer, you don't want to get in its way. It can obliterate a person. Let's see, Pasuk Yitches and Mitzudos. Afike nechusha yeshlem chozek hanechoshes. Afike means the might. Afik means afikin. They have the bones have the might of copper. Gramov atzamov, the bones kadover of its thick the kovet shel barzel v'kofal inyan demila shaynas. Okay, the mitzudos translates the words. There's some hard words here. Pasuk yichas mitzudos sioin afike in choizek. Okay, and kimetil he translates a masa kovet, a heavy burden, which is like a sledgehammer. Kamo v'notol hachol. Okay, he has an example, but it means like that's how he translates sledgehammer. Let's see. Take a look at the Rashi. Afike choizek gramov. Afike means choizek. Gramov means the bones. Kimetil kimasu shel barzel, like a masa shel barzel. Okay, so we're middle of describing over here. Okay, we'll stop over here, but this is the middle of describing the mighty power of the behemoth. Shor habor.